and an early chance. Ilie Sanchez turning on it. Graham Smith as well, and Johnny Russell finds the net. A goal in 51 seconds for a flying start by Sporting Kansas City.
Sporting KC with the early goal, 51 seconds in. That's what I like about soccer. Offense, 51 seconds in. And they didn't score again the rest of the first half, neither team. But Sporting KC beats Real Salt Lake yesterday 2-0. Baseball tonight, Pee Wee Baseball, Dusty.
Yes, the semifinals of the Pee Wee Baseball Tournament going up there at the state tournament in Concordia. And taking a look at tonight's matchups, the Bullet Hornets are playing in the late round of that tonight. Or actually, they're early against the Smith Center Chiefs at 7 o'clock, the Bullet Hornets and Smith Center Chiefs.
The semifinals?
Semifinals.
This is the semifinals, yeah.
Is that what I said?
I don't think you said it, so I just want to make sure that somebody knew what round this was.
Yeah, I thought I did say that. Yeah, sorry.
Maybe you did.
Yeah. Semifinals, Bullet Hornets against Smith Center Chiefs at 7, and then Washington takes on Concordia Lions at 8:30 tonight in the other semifinal matchup. So those brackets are posted at ncksports.com if you want to see all the matchups, times, and everything that you need to know about it.
All right, best of luck to those teams, and Smith Center will be representing the area at the K18 baseball tournament that begins this weekend, and that bracket as well posted at ncksports.com.
New Cardinals closer, Kwon Hyung Kim. Ooh, man. And there's a blast to left field, and Bubba Starling just continues not only hitting well, but hitting for power, and this goes back to Arizona. And now it's 6-3 in the seventh inning.
Royals lose to the Cardinals 6-3 yesterday in St. Louis. Royals go 0-3 in the abbreviated exhibition season, which really shouldn't be a big deal. And so the Royals now will go to Cleveland, start the season tomorrow against the Indians. Danny Duffy will get the opening day start because Brad Keller, of course, tested positive COVID-19. He and Jacob Junis may be 3 or 4 weeks away, and then the Royals are already short on starting pitching, which means Brady Singer, their first-round draft pick just 2 years ago, is going to make his Major League debut as their number two starter on Saturday. Wow. That was fast. But when you don't have a lot of depth in your pitching system, that's what ends up happening. So the Royals received some bad news yesterday. Starting right fielder Hunter Dozier confirmed on Wednesday that he had tested positive for COVID-19, placed on the injured list. He had played in Monday's exhibition game against the Astros. Mike Matheny said it was just a kick in the gut, and that means more opportunities for guys like Brett Phillips and Bubba Starling, who you just heard hit a monster home run against the Cardinals. He's had a good summer training, if you want to call it that. It's not spring training. And also Franchi Cordero, who the Royals acquired in the Tim Hill trade recently. He'll probably make the opening day roster as well. So Dozier, 28 years of age, hit 26 homers, 84 RBIs last year, and led the Tide for the league lead in triples with 10. And he's coming off of his first real big season, and he had some injuries and still put up those numbers last year. Now he's going to have to sit for a few weeks at least, and that means opportunities for Bubba Starling, Brett Phillips, and maybe Franchi Cordero. So we'll see how the Royals proceed. The Royals have no idea already, 3 games in the season, who their starter is going to be for the third game of the year. That's not good.
No.
That's not good. Well, you don't even know who your third starter is going to be. I would think it'd be Mike Montgomery, but I don't know. Major League Baseball starting the season tonight. And here's the schedule. The Yankees against the Nationals at 6:08. And then it'll be the Giants and Dodgers at 9:08 Central Time. And then tomorrow, opening day. And as we said, the Royals will be in action against the Indians at 6:10 to start the 2020 sprint of a season. 60 games. The old moniker, we've used it many times on the show in the past. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Wrong! It's not a marathon, it's a sprint. That's what it is this year. Do you think that the baseball season will be wild and wacky because it's a shorter 60-game season, or do you think that the cream will rise to the top and we won't really have any surprises in the postseason anyway?
I think there might be like one or two surprises just because they might, you know, you just never know what's going to happen with positive tests too.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what's going to be wacky to me. Like Hunter Dozier just all of a sudden boom, changes your plans. Yeah, Mike Trout gets positive COVID-19. Garrett Cole for the Yankees all of a sudden boom, changes everything.
Yeah, and I think that might have just as much to do with it as a short season does. But all combined, I think there might be maybe a team or two that gets in that you weren't expecting to be anything that might end up being in there.
How messed up is this sports season? Okay, baseball's opening day is July 23rd. That's messed up. We know that. The Toronto Blue Jays still don't know where they're going to play their home games.
Yeah.
And we're starting the season today. The Blue Jays are on the road in Florida to take on Tampa Bay tomorrow. So as of opening day today for four teams and opening day for the Blue Jays tomorrow, the Blue Jays don't have a place to play their home games. They have no idea because Canada didn't allow them to play because of the pandemic. So they can't play home games in Toronto. They thought they could stay in Pittsburgh and play their games there and share the park with at PNC Park with the Pirates. Well, now their government says no, their state government. So I don't know what the Blue Jays are going to do. And here's another thing that's pretty wild and wacky. We still don't know how many playoff teams will be allowed to make the postseason because Major League Baseball is still working on that, and they have not ruled out that there could be 16 teams in the playoffs, and that's only a few months away.
Mm-hmm.
So think about this for a second. We're going into Major League Baseball's opening day today. We don't know where one team will be playing their home games, and we don't know how many teams are going to make the playoffs. For sure.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Welcome to baseball season, everybody.
So here's one for you. 60-game season. Will anybody hit 400? I'm going to say no.
Yeah, probably not.
But if they do, doesn't there have to be a gigantic asterisk next to that?
Oh, I would think so, yeah.
It'd be insulting to Ted Williams.
Yeah.
To me. I hope nobody does.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, don't do it so you don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to worry about really too many records this year, but that would be one. You know, abbreviated season, you know, 400, batting 400, or ERAs maybe, you know. By the way, if you think 60 games is enough time to figure things out, do you know that the World Series champion Washington Nationals last year, let me repeat this, the World Series champion Washington Nationals, do you know what their record was after 60 games last year?
It wasn't great.
It was poor. It was the third worst record in baseball.
Yeah.
So if you had this season last year, the Nationals wouldn't even made the playoffs.
Yeah, they wouldn't make
it. They've been the third worst team.
Yeah.
They would have drafted third in the draft. Just it was a show you over the last 102, yeah. They turned it on.
Because that was a big thing. I mean, they made the turnaround to make it, just to make it to the playoffs and then win the World Series.
Got hot late. And in 2003, let's go back 17 years, I got to do some Royals postgame and pregame shows on the weekend. You and I were talking about that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And the Royals actually were good that year. Remember, that was Jose Lima, and the Royals were seven games up with the All-Star break. They started that year 9-0 and then 16-3. And the Royals still didn't make the playoffs because you had to play 162. Somebody starts this year 16-3 in a 60-game season, they have to completely collapse to make the playoffs, especially if they expand the field to 16 teams. But go back to last year. Remember the Mariners started off 11-2 or something? Really, really good.
Yeah.
They finished dead last in their division.
Yes.
So it isn't how you start, it's how you finish. But this year it might be more about how you start.
Well, yeah, and we've talked about that ever since we found out it was a 60-game season. It's like, man, one team starts like he's a 16-3, like the Royals did. I mean, it's gonna be hard for them not to make it.
Is there a team that you're keeping an eye on, going, that team could really surprise people? Well, it seems like the Padres are a popular pick right now.
Yeah, probably so. I honestly haven't analyzed it enough to see what everybody's got, who's still playing.
I know
all this stuff.
It's hard to follow, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think in the Royals division, I think the White Sox, you're going to play against poor teams more because you're playing staying in the Central. The NL Central's not all that. I think the White Sox, and I'm not a White Sox fan at all, but I don't know, for some reason, they've got some really young talent they've locked up. The White Sox might win this division since they only play 60 games. The Twins won the division last year. I don't know if they're going to be the same type of team this year. They added some pitching. The Indians, I think, are still solid, but I don't think they're what they once were. The Royals, I think, have major issues with their pitching, so I don't think the Royals are a serious threat. Even in a 60-game season, I don't think the Royals are a serious threat, although their offense should be better. But I don't know if there's any other team you look at and say, you know, the Rays – you know, a team that always seemed to be pretty competitive, small market team. Maybe they would, maybe they can win the division and surprise the Yankees. I don't know.
Yeah, I I don't know enough about it to even try to guess who I think those teams would be.
So let me ask you this question: Are you excited that Major League Baseball is starting today? Like, are you excited like you normally would be on opening day? Because for me, I'm not.
No.
I'm not. I'm not psyched. Well, maybe it's because the Royals, I don't think I'm going to be that good.
That's
but I'm
usually
not,
every year for me.
Well, exactly. So how's it any different from April to July?
I know. If I know the Royals are going to be good, I'll be more excited on opening day without question.
But as a whole, even if the Royals aren't going to be that good, I don't think so. I still get excited about opening day. I'm not excited about it. You would think I'd be even more excited about it because we've been missing sports for so long. Maybe I've just gotten used to it. But I'm not excited because, one, I don't think it's going to be a true representation of who the best team is when they only play 60 games. Call me old-fashioned. And then the other thing about the season is I'm not convinced they're going to get through it. So I guess there's some clouds hanging above my head in regards to what I'm thinking for this upcoming Major League Baseball season. That starts July 23rd, which is just weird and odd. Hasn't happened before like this. And I'm still a little soured by Major League Baseball and Player Association having all kinds of problems to even get this to go.
Mm-hmm.
I just am not super psyched and excited. And somebody could say, well, you're not a diehard baseball fan then. I love baseball, but I'm not super excited. I guess I've already turned the page to football. If it was April, I'd be excited. If the Royals were out of it, I'd still be talking more baseball in July because the pennant races be heating up. But I'm not into it. Now, maybe I will be after a week, maybe after a few days. Maybe tonight I'll be into it and watch some baseball. I doubt it. But maybe tomorrow when the Royals play, I'll be into it. But I'm just, me personally, I'm just not super excited or psyched. And maybe that's just the routine that we've been set in for years.
Yeah.
Baseball's in April, and then by July, your team's out of it. So then you focus on football. And I've already turned the page and getting ready on focusing on college and pro football because I guess I'm thinking about high school right now, high school sports more so. Then baseball starting their season July 23rd.
Yeah. When you're thinking about football, you're thinking about the world champions that are your favorite team, right?
Yeah.
So you're just like, let's go.
They're handing money out to everybody.
See if we can do it again.
Right.
And that's what's on my mind, too. I mean, I'm not, like I said, but I've never claimed to be any kind of diehard baseball fan other than, watching the Royals and doing that. I love the Royals. I watch.
Right.
As many games as I can, especially when they're good. When they were winning, I was watching almost every game.
Right.
I don't get excited about the Yankees playing the Nationals tonight. Let's just put it that way.
No, I don't either. And I think it's safe to say I follow baseball a lot closer than you do.
Yeah.
Just because I am more into baseball overall. I think some people just have a team like you do, and you focus on it. But for me, I like getting synopsis and snapshots of what's happening around the league, especially individual performances are pretty awesome to me. Okay, so the announcers won't travel on road games. So LeFever and Hudler, Denny Matthews and those guys, Steve Fisiak and Stewart and all them, they will be in Kansas City like they were last night at the Kauffman Stadium calling the game off of monitors when the game was in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So these games in Cleveland, Royals announcers will be. They'll be at Kauffman Stadium for home and road games.
Yeah.
Makes it different.
Yeah. A new experience for sure.
Oh, no question. How big of a blow is it for Hunter Dozier not to be going for the first couple weeks of this season?
I don't think it's good.
No.
I
think the bigger blows is Keller and Junis aren't ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, you couple that with the pitching issues that they have, and you're going to take away a guy that led the league in triples last year, tied for the league lead, and...
Yeah, you do have Salvi back.
Pop,
you didn't have Salvi last year, though. Maybe that offset.
True,
maybe that offset.
Might offset a little bit of the power, but...
Right. Defensively, I don't think it's a big deal that Dozier does or does not play.
Yeah.
Well, there's still a lot of money being thrown around. The Los Angeles Dodgers have signed Mookie Betts, who they acquired from the Red Sox, to a massive 12-year contract extension worth $365 million. It's the second-largest contract in MLB history behind only Mike Trout. I'm surprised by this a little bit, but I shouldn't be because it's the Dodgers and they have money running hand over fist like the Yankees. But with the unknowns of what's coming up and just starting the season, I think you could have easily played it out and said to Mookie Betts and his representation, hey, we're going to wait this out a little bit. The only problem is, what if Mookie Betts lights it up for 60 games?
Yeah.
Now his price goes up. And the Dodgers have big TV deals. They can afford it. Don't feel bad for them for giving out $365 million. But here's the thing, folks, and understand this. $365 million for Mookie Betts is completely different than $503 for Patrick Mahomes. And you may say, what do you mean completely different? Well, duh, $365 is less than $503. No, that's not what I'm talking about. This is guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Baseball is guaranteed contracts. Patrick Mahomes is not fully guaranteed. He's got guarantees in it, but it's not. $503 million is not guaranteed to Patrick Mahomes.
No, $365 million is not guaranteed to Patrick Mahomes out of that deal.
No, but Mookie Betts, it will be once he signs the dotted line on that. So a big deal. For the Dodgers, and of course the Royals can never make a deal like that, and if they do, then they're probably messed up no matter what. I mean, look at the Angels. They got Mike Trout on a big contract. They can't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So why would the Royals do that if they ever had a big contract like that? It'd be suicide, in my opinion, when it comes to baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball suicide is what I'd call it. Let's see. It's interesting. The SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 are considering now a 9+1 model. What does that mean? 9 conference games and a +1 where they could still have a high-profile non-conference game or schedule one if they got opening on their date. So let me get this straight. We're talking about, we don't know if we're going to have a season. Hopefully we can play them and get them all in. And we're canceling all our non-cons, a lot of conferences. Some conferences completely moving fall sports to the winter or spring. And now these Power Five conferences, the SEC and ACC and Big 12, say, hey, man, we're going to add a game. We're going 10. Doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense to me at all.
No.
Doesn't make sense. But they're the three that have not said that they're going to cut the non-con. Whereas the Pac-12 and the Big Ten set did. So that affects some games involving the Big 12 and the ACC and the SEC. So they're sitting there going, hey, we might have this other non-con game. We have three non-con games. One's against the Big Ten, one's against the Pac-12, but we got one. The SEC is against the ACC. Well, hey, how about we just still go ahead and play that and thus make it uniform and play a 9+1? That's what they're thinking.
Yeah, because
save money for K-State's one extra game.
K-State's playing Vanderbilt.
Yes, so you could still
play
that.
That's their big,
that'd be their big
conference non-conference game. Right. The other two are Buffalo and somebody else that is not a Power Five.
Yeah, those two you want.
So let's go
about.
Ahead and drop those.
You're
going to
pick
Vanderbilt.
The best one. You're going to pick the best one, obviously. I mean, I get it. Once again, it's all about money. Getting an extra gate, extra game, TV, all that. KU football, their voluntary workouts resumed yesterday, 19 days after suspending offseason activities because of a dozen positive COVID-19 cases or tests. Athletic Director Jeff Long announced Wednesday that 90 COVID-19 tests conducted last Saturday produced four positive results. Long said that 4.4% positive rate was low enough for physicians at Kansas Team Health to recommend that the Jayhawks get back to work. The four individuals are currently following isolation protocols established by our healthcare physicians and public health professionals, Long said in a statement. After starting testing and voluntary workouts in mid-June, KU suspended voluntary team activities on July 3rd when 12 players tested positive for COVID-19. So KU back at the voluntary football workouts. The NBA had some exhibition games yesterday, believe it or not. The Clippers played the Magic and beat them. Not that you care if it doesn't really count. But how about Bol Bol? He had been hurt, and now he's healthy because of the long layoff, four-month layoff for the NBA since last played. And the 7'2" rookie for the Nuggets yesterday, he had 16 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 block shots in his first game competitively. That's not a bad start.
No,
suddenly the Nuggets might go up and be the team that beats the Lakers and the Clippers in the West. And so there was like 4 or 5 exhibition games, and it's good to see guys actually playing each other on the basketball court. And once again, I'm not really enthralled because it's been out of my mind for 4 months, and I will follow it once the playoffs start. It's going to be weird, and then they're, you know, piping in crowd noise. And did you see, like, the Miami Heat, they had like the board where on the sidelines where they showed fans and pumping in the sound, and then, you know, recorded video of them cheering when the Miami was playing. It's weird, dude.
Yeah.
It's a whole different animal. It really is. It is weird to watch it. Okay. Brent Maycock at Topeka Capital Journal will join us here in just a few minutes. Keisha, well, let's go back. Yesterday, if you're not aware of this, and if you're not, then you really haven't been paying attention. The Kansas State Board of Education did not affirm the Governor Kelly's Executive Order 20-58, which was going to make schools wait till after Labor Day to start school. The Kansas Board of Education, for some reason, has an even number of people. I don't know any why boards have even numbers of people.
Yeah.
But I will say it's easy to figure this out. If you have an even number of people, you just make it to where it has to be a majority for anything to pass. So normally you'd have like a 9-member board, and it would automatically, like the Supreme Court, it'd automatically be 5-4 in favor, you know, or 5-4 against.
Mm-hmm.
It's automatically going to be one way or the other. When you have an even number of people like this with 10, it's got to be 6-4 for something to pass. 5-5 to stop it. So I thought my prediction was that the Kansas State Board of Education would pass it or affirm it. I thought they'd go 6-4. I thought it'd be close. I thought 6-4. Instead, it was 5-5, which means it's a tie, which means that's enough. They needed 6 yes votes to follow through with what Governor Kelly wanted to do. As a result, schools can start whenever they want. They do not have to wait till after Labor Day. Here's the funny thing. It's amazing to me how people don't think. So I've seen people going, oh, my God, what a mess this is going to be. Schools can start whenever they want. They already do. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. Where the hell have you been? I'm 44. When I went to school back in the 80s, we started 2 weeks ahead of Palco, and it made me mad.
Yeah.
Palco started after Labor Day. We started August 18th. We always were the first ones to go back to school. I hated it. It was hot. We didn't have air conditioning. Well, we didn't have in, you know, we had a few window units. We'd get out of school 1 o'clock. It was so dang hot.
Yeah, we did that. It's like you'd get released at 1 because it was too hot.
What's the point of going to school so hot if you're going to leave halfway through the school day? So I'm just like, all these people are like, well, school's good. Schools are going to have to, they're not going to start on the same day. What are we going to do? They never have.
Same thing we do every year.
Governor Kelly never did set the exact date of when every school had to start. All she said was start after Labor Day. So guess what? Schools could have started September 8th, September 9th, September 10th, September 11th, September 15th. It's up to each local school district to set their calendar and their board to approve it. That's still the same thing today. It's no different. It is not any different. The only thing different was there was an order on the table to make everybody wait till after Labor Day. And all of a sudden, people lose their minds and think that's the way it's always been. Where have you been? Apply yourself cognitively and understand that I know Beloit, the last couple of years, have started almost two full weeks ahead of Sylvan Lucas.
Yeah.
In our own backyard, there's a two-week difference.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do? Are they going to figure out when to start? They're going to start in different days. It's going to be chaos. No, it's always been this way. No. And here's the thing. Just because the governor had an order to start school after Labor Day and just because it's Kansas State Board of Education did not confirm it or affirm it doesn't mean schools can't still wait till after Labor Day. And guess what? Blue Valley schools in Kansas City are starting after Labor Day. There's a school district in Topeka already announced they're starting after Labor Day.
KCK school district is doing
They're starting
too,
after Labor Day. Nemaha Central already announced yesterday, that's Seneca, that they're going to start August 20th. They're sticking with their original start date. So there's going to be about a 2.5 week difference between when those schools start.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, how are we going to make that work, Dusty? Oh, my God, how am I going to make that work? Oh, that's right. It's already happened. It's been done over and over, year in and year out. If sports practices are allowed August 17th and schools choose to wait till after September 9th to start or whenever after Labor Day, it doesn't mean they can't have practices August 17th. You can have practices before you actually start school. And here's another thing people aren't aware of. You can have sporting events before school starts. You can have a cross-country meet the day before school starts or a week before. There is no rule that says you must be in school before you can have a practice. You must be in school before you have an athletic event. Those rules don't exist, but somehow people are grabbing stuff out of thin air and making up stuff and putting it on social media. Come on, people.
That's why I was like, Sylvan's like, I think, always started like closer
late
to September.
Late
know?
August.
And obviously, they're not in school yet when practice
no!
starts.
No! They don't wait. They don't get a two-week late start.
No.
It's just mind-boggling to me.
And I got, you know, I'm reading comments. Schools aren't going to be ready to have everything they need to go to school. Okay, this has been an issue since March.
Yes.
Okay, when they came out of school. I know for a fact that a school district right in this area has everything they need to start school right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that governor told them they need, they have it right now.
They're prepared.
They're ready.
Maybe than other school districts.
And you know, I don't know if every school district is like that, but they should have been. I mean, you should have known with all the mask mandates that are coming out, that you're probably going to need masks at school.
Right.
They've been talking about this for a long time.
Right.
Hand sanitizer is probably just a normal thing you probably should think about right now. And you know, those. But like I said, I know for a fact that one of them's already ready, and they have what they need right now.
Well, and I saw...
You know, I'm guessing most of them are around here. I think a lot of people are pretty smart around here.
In a story, and we got posted on our website, kittycountry94.com, the Manhattan-Ogden School District, they're talking about how they're really worried that they're going to get the supplies they want on the first day of school. Well, here's a thought. Back up school.
Yeah.
How hard is it?
I don't
understand what the problem is. We do not know if we're going to get the supplies we need by August 12th and we're going to start school. It's going to be really tight. Delay it till August 19th.
Nobody said you can't do that.
You can change your start of your school date. You can. Beloit originally was going to be August 13th. They said August 20th. Now they're reevaluating everything. Mm-hmm. They may wait till after Labor Day, but they may start August 20th. I don't know what they're going to do. They haven't decided. I don't even have the answer to that. But then people spilling out this information. Well, boy, it's going to start August 20th. No. I've got a letter from the superintendent telling me we're
That's
still trying to figure that
stone,
out.
Yeah.
And there are people throwing stuff out on social media. We're starting August 20th. Wrong. Misinformation again. It's like, why can't we just wait to get the official statement from the superintendent to say, hey, we're starting September 7th, 8th, 9th. We're starting December 27th after Christmas. Whenever we're going to start, it's going to come down from the superintendent and the board of the school board will confirm or vote for it, whatever, approve it. And Beloit will figure out what they're going to do. Lakeside will figure out what they want to do. Osborne's going to do what they want to do. Every school's going to do what they want to do, and that's no different than it's ever been before. But because somebody comes up with, you can't start school after Labor Day, everybody loses their minds thinking that's the way it is, and now what are we going to do? And then they freak out when we realize that nothing's changed because the Kansas State Board of Education didn't approve it. But I'm sitting here at Manhattan Schools. We don't know if we're going to have our stuff in time. Well, if you're not going to have your stuff in time, delay it a week. How hard is it? I mean, seriously.
I know that puts more stress probably on your teachers than when they're going to get everything, but which one
that would give you more time for your teachers to prepare, and I will agree with the governor here on this part. Starting after Labor Day would give school districts more time.
Oh, yeah.
And some schools need it. And some schools, as you just said, don't. And thus, if they don't need it, then why can't they start earlier? Yeah. Well, then it comes down to the whole safety thing, obviously, with COVID-19.
Well, sure, yeah.
Yeah, so...